like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please.
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Okay, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush, the latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
Well, the plan to help build a stadium for the Oakland A's in Vegas is kind of in jeopardy right now, as perhaps in flux, after Nevada lawmakers adjourned their four-month legislative session. So there's this bill. It's very contentious. People are going at it on both sides. It's now uncertain after the legislature did not advance it before the midnight deadline as Monday turned to Tuesday, as it tends to do. The proposal could potentially be considered in a special legislative session at a date to be determined later, where lawmakers would later vote on it. So they also failed to pass one of the five major budget bills that included over $1 billion to fund capital improvement projects that fund state public works and construction, which would also likely be considered for a special session. So I guess we wait. We don't really know the status for the Oakland A's just yet and what that new stadium and all that is going to look like. We do know the status for this one, though, for the Buffalo Bills. Angel, you probably read all about this, buddy. Bills break ground on their new $1.54 billion stadium. Something big is happening in Buffalo. You got the facility. It's rock and roll, and they broke ground there. I mean, are we expecting this to be the state-of-the-art new stadium? Is this going to be the one that sets the tone for stadiums to come, including maybe Denver Broncos Stadium?
No. And the fact that it's open air stadium means there won't be a Super Bowl in Buffalo anytime soon.
Well, Miami's still going to struggle to play there then.
No. They didn't struggle in the playoffs with Skylar Thompson.
I had to. You know me. Hey, I'm joining your side, man. I'm on the dark side here. I think Miami's actually going to be good. Because it's not the Broncos. Every team,
automatically makes me
31 teams in the NFL are considered the dark side if they stand in between the Broncos and their ultimate goal.
Well, we share the same color orange.
That's true. Yeah, well, you could be lesser dark side, but there is going to be a time in the regular season, Angel, where you'll definitely be on the dark side.
Week three,
you will be on the dark side. That's going to be fun. We should prepare some fun stuff for that. Rivalry.
You're gonna lose, so.
No, we're winning. Did you not see my predictions?
Did you not see what happened to the Bills in September of last year in Miami?
Did you not see Russell Wilson jawline? Do I need to remind you of the
jawline?
Saw a
lot of Russell Wilson last year.
Do I need to remind you of the jawline, though? Have you seen it?
Well, his twin in South Florida is going to be ready for it.
How's his jawline?
Strong.
Is it?
Very strong.
Okay.
Neck is even stronger.
Well, he's got fighting skills now. Falling skills.
Watch out.
I'm ready.
Yeah, judo chop.
I'm just telling you, man. Sean Payton and the boys over there closing the...
What are you going to say? I don't know what you can say about them.
Shutting the blinds so none of us can see the monsters that they're creating over there. That's the thing. They're in the lab creating their own little Frankensteins. We'll see what Zach Stevens has to say about that later on. We'll reiterate this story. PGA Tour, LIV Golf, DP World Tour unify under one umbrella. We talked about that a lot in the first hour. And they're saying this is going to be a way to help golf, grow golf, even though the PGA Tour was throwing monster shade and daggers and everything at the LIV Golf League forever and heckling the golfers in their own way, the golfers that left to go to LIV Golf for more money and such and promises of a new world, a new sport somewhat. And PGA Tour held to that. Yeah, you know where they're getting their money? You really going to go over there? You're going to sell out after everything we've done with you? Well, some golfers said, you know what? You're right. We're sticking with you. And then the PGA Tour is like, you know what? There's a lot of money. On second thought, there's a lot of money to be had here. Let's just join forces and see what happens. The PGA Tour commissioner said, we've recognized that together, that we're trying to come together and overcome the tension and the issues. We can have a far greater impact on this game than we can working apart. The game of golf is better for what we've done here today. And maybe that's true. It's just, it's a very hypocritical thing here. The landmark deal between the tours and Saudi Arabia's Public Investment Fund, which is PIF, or PIF, if you want, was reached without the knowledge of many PGA Tour members and LIV golf players and agents. One PGA player said, and anonymously, of course, said, no blanking way. A golf agent who represents a couple of high-profile LIV golf players told ESPN that he was unaware of the merger. You just made my heart skip a few beats, the agent said, before the deal was officially announced. This is a wild story, man. And you know, again, there's a lot of hypocrisy and all this stuff to this deal. A lot of backstabbing, a lot of do as I say, but not as I do, that kind of thing. All those discussions are coming up in this. But at the end of the day, I'm left after the dust settles here, and I'm saying, well, what does the merger do? Aside from increasing the dollars. If the goal is to make golf a greater game than ever before, I would love to see that bullet point plan. Because right now, here's the bullet point plan, Angel. I got the hooligans on it right here. The hooligans have a bullet point plan list of how to make golf the most watchable sport. More watchable than it's ever been. You ready for this? Those of you that haven't been texting, here's the bullet points. Hot chicks in bikinis being their caddy. Bring the UFC ring girls to announce the hole. Make them slam a shot of fireball after each hole. Mic up the players, no bleeping the bad words. What if every golfer had a mascot out there with them? I'm ready to put a suit on and get this list into a bulletproof format here.
Just dress up the caddy. You're already out there with them.
Yeah, that's fine. That'd be good. Put the mascot there.
I mean, you could combine all of it into a female caddy dressed as some kind of animal with skin showing.
You could. That could be your mascot.
There you go. Everyone gets one.
I'm looking at all these ideas.
And to be equal, the women's golf
can have,
get men.
Yeah. Yes. They could do all
those
things.
Women's golf watching would go up.
Oh, I bet it would. I mean, got nowhere to go but up, probably. And I'm not just talking about women's golf, but golf in general. I don't know what the ratings are. I mean, people watch. It's not like people don't watch.
People watch 4 days full of golf.
Yeah, they do. But they don't watch that as much as they watch football and basketball and hockey and baseball. And that's the goal of golf. That's the goal of boxing. That's the goal of the UFC. That's their goal. You want to be in the four. You'll never get there. But that's the goal, and I admire it.
Well, our attention spans have decreased over time, and it's hard to tell someone, hey, I need you to watch 3, 4, or 5 hours of golf for 4 days straight.
And baseball, the sport we never thought would change, like big-time change, they have a pitch count. Like, I love the idea in theory. Was very confused how they're going to make it work. They're making it work. Hats off to baseball. You guys pulled this off. It's amazing. First Advantage text lines, 888-530-0043. Dixon says, randomly placed landmines has to be on the list, too. Yeah, sure. Yeah, no, like I said, dude, I've got my briefcase. I'm going to put a suit and tie on, and I'm going to go meet with the people there, with the higher-ups. And I'm going to say, you guys don't need to join forces here and make more money. I got an idea to make more money. You want more viewers? Here's my list, and I'm going to read them, each one of your suggestions. And I'll bet you they sign on the dotted line. I don't know what they're signing, but they sign. They're going to sign on the dotted line. We have made golf more watchable, more exciting, more attractive than ever before. Oh, don't forget the Eaton Moms. Yep, you got that on there too. That is in the mix. Sorry, it's not my suggestion. That was Mysterio's. I'm just throwing out the ideas here. You think that's going to win people over? How realistic is any of that stuff? Like anything to change it? Is there anything that you could really do to change it? I just don't see it other than it becoming a major gimmick. you make it more accessible, I guess. Different viewing points as far as camera angles. And I'm telling you, the Happy Gilmore effect might be something they consider. I know you're looking at me like I'm crazy, but it worked in the movie. Everyone was really excited about golf, and everyone was watching it. Could that work? Tiger Woods, it wasn't Happy Gilmore, but that was an example of one monster person. Personality, amazing golfer, awesome story, work ethic, all of that. Was the face of sports for a moment. Not just golf, dude. He was one of the biggest professional sports figures that we talked about. And he will go down in history as such. So how does golf strike gold again? Strike oil. Gold? Oil. You can strike them both, to be honest. That's how you strike them. What is this? 1 minute to longest putt made? Fifth hole? What do you say, Chris? 1 mile? Yeah. Longer putts? So what if you just turned the putting green into a putt-putt golf situation? The rest of it's just regular golf. But once you get on the green, yeah? You're not loving it? You're not in love with any of these? No changes.
I like the giant putt-putt idea.
The giant
putt-putt.
Why
is that not a thing?
Why? Someone could come up with that just
golf
be a theme park.
It's a mini golf course what if with you, different but, stuff on.
And you're just putting. What if you just made it putt-putt real golf?
Like actual putting or actual golf?
Actual golf, but it's a putt-putt golf course.
Yes.
But you're not putting all the time.
Right.
You're using
There's
your driver.
A massive windmill castle in the middle of 17.
Yeah, man.
Get past
million? Oh, million. There you go, you said, Chris.
And if you get, if you get the ball in the dragon's mouth on the last hole, you get a free ice cream cone or something.
Yes. Dixon says, I think if they allowed the crowd to be cheering and yelling at the players while guys are hitting, it would help. Well, the guy who's in Happy Gilmore, the guy who's like that guy, yeah.
I mean, that's part of that respect that factor of golf is you don't talk when someone else is swinging.
Maybe they should start talking while they're swinging.
Well, then you're going to get players upset. No, I can't play. You guys are ruining the game. People are yelling. There's 20 different frats out here all chugging beers and yelling at me. I just want to play golf. It's my weekend.
18 minutes after the hour, Mike Brohard with CSURams.com is going to join us next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy here on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFK. I want to shout out to the Eaton Country Club. We're seeing it, man. It's beautiful out there. All this rain is making everything so beautiful. And, of course, that's the case out at the Eaton Country Club. Check them out online. Find out how you can become a member today at eatoncc.net. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline is Mike Brohard from CSURams.com. Mike, you worried me. We couldn't get a hold of you. I was stressed out, man, but you're okay.
I was actually interviewing a former CSU athlete and getting off the phone with him. And so, yeah, it was Zach Goldich.
Oh.
So Zach Goldich is now involved with the 720 Foundation down in Aurora, and he hosts a 5K every year. So I wanted to do a story on that because they raise money. They gave out a $10,000 scholarship for
Sweet.
A young lady to go to UNC this next year. So it was nice catching up with Zach.
Yeah. And so you'll probably have a story for us here coming up pretty soon.
Yeah. This week, by next Wednesday, definitely I'll have it. There are a couple other people I'd like to talk to about how this all came together. But, Zach's always been one of my faves. He was a guy that when he was on campus, in that locker room, he spent time getting to know all of his teammates. Wanted to know where they were from, what their background was, wanted to know what made them different. And, and then, of course, he came with a story that when he first showed up at CSU, he tried to shy away from, wanted to make his own name before he became known as you know, a survivor of the Aurora Theater shooting.
Yeah.
And now he's found ways to take that experience and make it a positive within his community. He works for, you know, the South Metro Fire Rescue, and I think there's at least four former teammates of his that work in that same one. So it's been like a little pipeline from CSU football down there. But no, Zach's always been somebody who gave back to the community. Like he, when he was in college, he would go work at Children's Hospital and go talk to kids that were there. He's always been that guy, very big heart.
I look forward to reading that. You're right. One of the good ones as far as when we're talking about local sports guys, but more importantly, what they do off the field or what they've done off the field. So I'm looking forward to reading that one, Mike. Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. Mike, I don't know if I can – sometimes there's things I don't know if I can ask you about. So if I just ask and you can say no comment. What can you tell us much about this alumni game that's coming up July 16th? Is that something we can talk about?
It is. I haven't gotten all the details on everybody that's going to be there, but I know some people are very, very excited about the fact of bringing back some former players, involving the community. I think it's. I know it's something that the basketball program is very excited about.
Yeah, because I just looked at the flyer last night. I hadn't heard much about it, but Team Jason Smith, Team David Roddy. Oh, well, that's freaking awesome. The Becky Hammon 3-point contest. There was a dunk contest, and I'm just looking at the flyer, and I see a lot of obviously big names that we've followed over the years.
Yeah, and I will not be participating in any of it.
No dunk contest for you?
No.
Okay.
No, I've retired my dunking days.
Well, I retired my dunking days very early, and that was once they raised it up past like 8 feet. Then I retired from the dunk game, so I'm done with that. Mike, we're talking about the PGA Tour news today with LIV Golf and everything. What do you make of this, man? Because I know you like golf, you cover golf, you know golf, so I wanted to get your thoughts on this.
Here's the thing that's sad to me is that us and the general public were as blindsided by this as the PGA players.
Yeah, that's insane, right? The PGA players didn't know what the hell was going on. They stayed loyal.
No, for like a year, they stood out front and they took bullets.
Yes.
While the commissioner just kind of stayed in the background, and now they're going to have to take more bullets without being given any kind of heads up. You know, like we were talking about it for a little bit in the office. It's like, I wonder how Rory's feeling today.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's one. I saw some interesting things on Twitter where, you know, a PGA Tour professional was like, you know, I was having a really good practice round, and then he throws out the video. I think it was Justin, my idiot, shows a video of his phone of just nothing but just messages and Twitter feed stuff blowing up.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, all for the last, year or two, we've just heard nonstop on both sides, like the PGA Tour upset with golfers transferring over to LIV Golf and, you know, selling out. And then we hear, oh, the PGA guys stay loyal to what we've done. We've helped you guys with all this and blah, blah, blah. And here we are. You know what? It's going to be better for golf if we all just join forces. And then PGA Tour throwing it out saying, you know where LIV Golf gets their money and all that. Well, now they're just on the same side here. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah, they made a big point of saying, you know, this is basically money coming from the group that funded 9/11, right? And that was the big thing that they did for a while, and now you're taking that money. So
it's insane. Well, and then I'm reading this too, you know, after the dust has settled, not that it really has yet on this story, but you know,
I don't think it's gonna settle for a while.
No, probably not. But they're sitting here saying, hey, we're gonna get together and it's just better if we all work together to ultimately make golf better, to grow. So I guess then I go here, what would those steps look like? I mean, I'm asking the hooligans today to put together, you know, plans to make golf more of a watchable sport on television. And you'll love some of these. I'll share them over beers with you sometime, Mike. But what I guess I ask those questions, like, what do you do? What would they come together to do to make golf more of, because golf's popular, there's no doubt, but more popular as far as watching it on the tube?
It's a really good question. I know you, like, I had this argument with Ryan Pfeiffer the other day. Like, I think I once made the mistake of trying to listen to the Masters outside on radio while I was doing yard work, and it bored me to tears.
Mm-hmm.
But he likes listening to it on the radio. So it's just different strokes for different folks. I think if you're a golfer and you love the drama of it, you're going to watch, but it's not for everybody. I've been to professional golf tournaments live, and it's fun to watch. It's more fun to be there than to watch on TV. I don't watch a ton of golf on TV because I find it tough to watch. But then again, I'll watch a lot of baseball, and I know a lot of people that find baseball nearly impossible to watch on TV. So it's like sports is a niche thing, right? I mean, we all have those sports that we like, and we're going to watch them, and we all have disagreements on it. I don't know. I think you're asking the wrong person if you're going to ask me what's going to make golf more watchable, because I'm not sure I would watch it still anyway.
Well, it's you mentioned baseball too, and you know, I like baseball. I don't love baseball. I like it, but the pitch count thing has really made me more interested in out of market baseball. I watch the Rockies sadly because we live here in the state of Colorado, and that's about as good as excuses.
Tanner,
yes, he absolutely he's trying to get me on this Rockies bus thing. But I'll tell you, I do find myself, not that I didn't watch out of market baseball more, you know, off and on over the years, but I find myself more intrigued to watch, knowing, okay, it's going to flow a little bit quicker here. I don't have to dedicate that much time. And they made a change, and it seems like, for the most part, it's been for the better, even with the most diehard of baseball fans. So then I just look at a sport like golf, and I say, okay, how can you really change that sport? Baseball, I guess you can make edits. Football certainly can. Basketball, hockey. But golf just seems like one of those sports I don't see you really changing much, other than making it more accessible and we had a suggestion earlier, miking up the golfers and that kind of thing, but I don't know if that attracts someone who doesn't want to watch it in the first place.
That's a good question. So I think, like, to me, I've always find miking up athletes during a game to be really fascinating, because you really want to know what they're thinking, what they're saying to each other. And golf's a little bit different because, you know, they're solo out there on themselves, and I don't know how much – not all of them talk amongst themselves like when they're paired together, right? But if they were having those conversations, it would be fun, right? That would make it more fun. Like, I go back to the changes they made for baseball. The pitch clock is obviously the biggest one that people miss. That was designed, if you ask me, directly for TV. Because nobody has ever gone to a baseball game and complained how long it took when you're there watching it. You will complain if you're sitting on your couch and it's like, geez, this 3.5 hours later, we're now getting into the eighth inning. Okay. So I think a lot of these changes were made specifically for those to watch TV, because as we all know, TV is where they get their greatest form of revenue.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's a great point, because being at Coors Field, nobody's ever looking at the clock unless they absolutely have to be somewhere. You're there. You're dedicating your time to that game. At home, it's a little different, you know. It's just like, I'm ready to do something else.
I mean, the beauty for baseball fans is baseball is a timeless game. There is no clock. So it could end whenever it ends, and those of us who love baseball, we've always embraced that. I mean, I've never once looked at a watch or the time of night when I'm at Coors Field or any other ballpark I've ever been in. I just never have. Because you're enjoying the moment and you're enjoying being there. Now, if you're on if you're home on TV, yeah, I mean, it's like, we've now hit in the entertainment world. I mean, people aren't flinching anymore at 3-hour movies, right? But that used to be unheard of. It was like, nobody's attention span is going to last that long. Like, is it Oppenheimer that's coming out now? I think they're saying it's coming in at 3 hours.
Oof.
I mean, I'd still like to go watch that movie, just kind of fascinated by that. But still, that's a long time to ask somebody to keep their attention.
Do you watch movies in chunks now like I do? I will start a movie and watch about 45 minutes of it, and then I go maybe the next night. Maybe a week later, I finish it.
No. I have to watch a movie all the way through. If I start it, I gotta go.
I was that way. My wife was the opposite, and then I have slowly conformed to her side of the thing, because I do get tired. And, you know, I looked at Ted Lasso. Like, we were rewatching it right now, and the first season, they're all like 30-minute episodes. They're bam, bam. And then the last season got pretty heavy because they went a little bit longer, although I liked it. But the 30-minute ones, man, that was perfect. It was quick.
Great. You could pop out a season in a night, right?
Like, you certainly could. We might get this first season done tonight, actually, Mike. We'll see, because we got to get it done before Game 3 tomorrow. I was looking at
you're probably kind of excited about that.
I'm a little nervous, but I think we're going to be okay.
Okay.
All right.
I was worried about you. Just like jumping off the ledge after that loss.
Not yet. Not yet. Lose tomorrow night. And we get a little closer to that. We'll see how it goes. But I think they'll take care of business. Mike, after about a week here of just kind of digesting the schedule and everything, number one thing that sticks out when you look at the CSU football schedule next season, is it the time? I mean, look at all these 5 o'clock games, 5 o'clock kickoffs. There's not going to be a lot of those fans complaining about how late things are going right now.
No, 5 o'clock kickoffs are great. One Friday game, and it seems weird to me that they picked a border war to move to Friday, but that's okay. But yeah, the 5 o'clock kickoffs are great. I think the fan base is liking that. What's the one 8 o'clock game that we know that we definitely are going to play is going to be the CU game.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that
one. Yeah, you got that one, but that's not ours, right? We don't look at it that way.
Yeah,
it's a game we're going to win, but it's not our game to run. So yeah,
are the Rams going to win that game, Mike? Mike Brohard, are the Rams winning that game?
Yeah, we are.
You know what? I don't know. They might. They might just do it. I don't know what to make of CU.
You know what?
I have
Two
no
teams
idea.
Are play and one of them's going to win. So somebody's going to win that game. They don't do ties in college football anymore.
Maybe they should for this one, so everybody wins in the state of Colorado.
No. Somebody's got to have bragging rights. Come on. I mean, with Greeley Central and Greeley West play, do you want to see a tie in anything? No.
I just want everybody to have fun, Mike.
Somebody wants
you know
to have
me.
Somebody wants to have some bragging rights.
I'm Mr. Positivity. I'm never negative. I just want everybody to have a blast and have fun out there.
What?
My wife did get me a t-shirt that says that. I just hope both teams have fun. So it's one of my prized possessions.
Are you becoming a participation trophy guy?
No, it's supposed to be more of an ironic type thing because I don't like in hockey where you got three stars. I don't like that. I want one player of the game. That's it. I don't need 467 guys that were pretty good.
Well, it's three, not 460.
I know. It feels like it.
I get the point.
You get what I'm saying. All right. So September. Okay. So that's a Friday game. Not a Friday game. The Buffs game is a Saturday game, right?
September
that's Saturday 16th, 8 o'clock ESPN. Sure. Whew, that's going to be something else. But hey, listen, I hope both teams, what do they both have? Two games before that?
Wait a minute. Are you talking about our opener?
No, the game against CSU and game. CU.
So we'll have played Wazoo.
That's it? Okay.
And then have a bye, which is affectionately known in my house as my daughter's wedding week.
Oh, nice.
And then we play CU.
Okay, and CU will have two games before that.
Opened, yeah, CU will play
TCU and Nebraska.
And then play Nebraska, yeah.
I hope both teams, I hope CSU's 1-0, and I hope CU's 2-0 going into that game.
I don't think you're going to see that happen.
Probably not.
You're good on the 1-0, yeah.
But, you know, can I just say this? CU, first game of the season last year, they played TCU. Yeah. It was, 7-6 at halftime, and then Carl Durrell kind of lost his mind. Next thing you know, it's like, I don't know what the ending score was. It was a blowout, but it was actually a competitive football game in the first half.
But do you remember much about that game?
I don't remember a lot. I just remember Carl Durrell.
You remember TCU starting quarterback getting hurt, and then going to a different guy, and then finally going to the guy that was the Heisman runner-up? TCU was still kind of feeling its way under Sonny Dykes that first week. And then they kind of, I think if you remember correctly, they went undefeated for a while.
Well, no, I know they were really good. I'm just saying, Mike, there was belief there for a moment. The Carl Durrell era almost didn't end that night. I mean, there was weird times. He went for it on a weird fourth down, then didn't go for it on a weird fourth down. He was like doing the opposite of what everybody thought he should do. So maybe he was trying to get fired. I don't know. It was crazy. But
I don't think anybody's trying to get fired.
Mike, you know, sports, man. You never know. You never know. It's just crazy. All right.
I didn't wake up this morning thinking the PGA and the LIV Tour were going to merge.
That's exactly right. All right, Mike, my man.
I did not have that on my Tuesday bingo card.
I was listening to our morning show guys here with Tanner and Brian, and they just said it. I said, what just happened? That feels like April Fool's, but it's June, Mike. That's not possible. All right, my friend. Well, I'm looking forward to what you have coming up, the next couple of stories for us. And then I do want to learn more about this alumni game, too. Maybe you and I could go, Mike. We could get tickets and check it out. What do you think?
That's a possibility.
He hesitated.
Definitely a possibility.
He hesitated.
No, I got to check. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's kind of exciting time. Like yesterday I came into work and I'm walking in the door and following right behind me was Isaiah Stevens.
He's back now, right, Mike?
He is back.
That's exciting.
I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah. That, he's back. Well, he was on last week and I forgot to ask him about it.
You know, that's just kind of amazing. It was kind of old news at that point, wasn't it? I mean, it's like he never left.
Yeah. Well, I'm pumped about that.
Technically, he's now, and
he said that on the. I said, well, hey, you still look. Obviously, you've looked at all the moves you guys have been making. He's like, well, I've never not been a Ram. I'm still a Ram.
Yeah.
But we got close, maybe. We got close.
Yeah,
but,
you know, like a lot of college kids, he wanted to do some traveling after classes were done.
Yeah. No, totally. Do it now while you can, right? While you're young.
Yeah. Go out, see the world a little bit, and then come back refreshed and ready to go. And be the point guard for a reconstructed roster.
Undefeated team next year, perhaps, huh, Mike?
It's quite possible.
It actually is possible. There's a huge possibility.
It is possible
of that.
Because they have X amount of games.
Yep.
They will play them.
Yep.
And there's a chance that they could, every time they go out, there's always a chance that they could win.
Well, and I guarantee you, Nico Medved, before every game, is saying our goal is to win the game. So that's already on the mindset.
I've heard him talk about that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen him coach a game to lose it. Never.
No. So, I mean, based on that mindset and the roster, there's a chance this team doesn't lose next year.
It's quite possible. Yeah.
Mike, my friend, appreciate you as always. Hey, we're moving into a new studio next week. You should come by and hang out with us.
I did not know that.
We are. Yeah. West Greeley. We're moving on west. So we're very excited about it. It'll be a very fun time.
So closer to where you live.
Yeah, a little bit closer. I think I shaved about 7 minutes off, so very excited about that.
Very nice.
All right, my man.
Did they name the studio after you, or did they name it after Angel?
I'm hoping Angel, because Angel has a nice ring to it, the Angel Studios.
I think that does, yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Plus, we all know how hard he works.
He's one of the hardest working men in radio. Absolutely.
Exactly. I mean, especially because he has to call me and I don't answer right away all the time.
He had to call you 3 times, Mike. You know what kind of stress that puts on him and, you know, the physical toll it takes on his fingers and everything.
I did apologize, and I forgot it was a landline, so I tried to send, like, one of those custom texts, give me 1 minute, and it didn't go through.
It blew up the phone.
It did. I'm sorry. I owe him a great apology.
I'll
publicly apologize to Angel for not answering on the first time, but my excuse was I was talking to Zach Goldridge.
That's a good excuse, and I'll talk to Angel. I'll try to smooth it over before next week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, that sounds good.
Mike, my friend, appreciate you. We'll catch up with you next week.
Take care, sir.
Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. I always think the end of our interviews with Mike, my segments with Mike, they just kind of go all over the place, which is fun. Because when I first met Mike, I was like, dude, this Mike, I still do. I have a lot of respect for him. But he was kind of intimidating, and he's still kind of intimidating. So I was by the book of the questions I'm going to ask, CSU this, CSU that. But now we're like best friends, so you never know what's going to happen. 12:42 the time. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I want to shout out to one of my good friends, Ryan Hicks with Renaissance Insurance Group. Just got to know him really over the last year or so. We shared a common interest in all things UNC sports and cables. I'm telling you, it's where my friends meet. I met him there for the first time. And he is an awesome guy, a great community guy that truly cares about the folks surrounding him in this community. Renaissance Insurance Group was formed by 2 UNC Bears alumni 20 years ago, and they've always had the backs of Northern Coloradoans. They specialize in risk management, commercial, and personal insurance needs for Weld County and are the go-to for workers' compensation and farming operations. Trust me, guys. Talk to Ryan, talk to his partner. They'll steer you, put you in the right direction. Don't lose what you've been working so hard for. Call my guy Ryan at Renaissance Insurance, 970-674-8825. My tight-knit brewing poll question of the day is available at thewholeshow.com. Go ahead and vote there. Has Michael Malone failed Michael Porter Jr.? Because here's where I go. He is a ridiculous athlete. I've seen
him do some miraculous things. Is he as good as Jamal on his best night? No. I thought maybe Michael could take over that role. But Jamal, listen, he's not a consistent superstar in Jamal, which means you can't call him a superstar. But his, I think you said it, like his floor is better now. Jamal's worst games are still going to be pretty damn good. The other night, 18 points for him. And he wasn't really special other than a little Murray flurry there in the second. But Michael Porter Jr. still has this ability, this talent, this raw talent. And I'm not seeing it evolve. Like I'm saying, okay, I know it's a weird comparison, but Nikola Jokic evolved. And I do think that Michael Malone had some role there. I think he helped grow Nikola Jokic into the player that we see today. I think Jamal Murray, Michael Malone loves him some of Jamal Murray. I already said this. I think Jamal has gotten to be a better player. He is. He still might be inconsistent, but Jamal is a better player than he was 2 years ago. And I think Michael Malone has a hand in some of that. Christian Brown, rookie year, coming on strong, getting better every day. I think Malone and his staff have a lot to do with that. I'm just not seeing the evolution of Porter that I thought we would see in these playoffs. I feel like, now I'm not talking about his defense or rebounding. That's where I think Malone has helped him. But the offensive side and perhaps the basketball IQ, I just haven't seen it progress the way I thought we would see it in these playoffs. And it does kind of feel like Michael Porter's overall game, even though he's boarding, even though he's playing better defense, overall, has he regressed? No?
No, I don't think so. Their relationship is very interesting, and I've tried to go back and just read some earlier articles from a few years ago just to get a sense of their timeline and the starting minutes, whether or not he was going to start at all.
Oh yeah, it's a strange timeline.
Multiple surgeries, injuries, stuff like that. Michael is one of the most mentally fortified players on this team. And if just by looking at him and watching them play, you might not get that sense. But if you read some of his interviews, he's very conscious of his mental health and his Christian faith and how he leans on those two things to really get him out of those, pouty moods that he can sometimes get into. But yeah, your points on the defense and his overall basketball play has improved. But the offense, it's not where we might have expected him getting 20, 25, maybe even 30 points a game in the playoffs.
Is it so? You mentioned that, and I like that point, about being fortified mentally. But he's also in that admitting that he does sometimes lean into that pout mode. I believe that Michael Malone was talking about MPJ and probably KCP the other night. That's who I believe. And Porter, we've said this before. We've said this for a couple of years now that when Michael Malone says something cryptic in a press conference about a guy feeling sorry for himself or whatever, we've always kind of just felt it was Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah, I mean, and that's just because of the personalities we've seen from other players. You wouldn't assume it would be a Jokic or a Murray that would act like that. But you have to remember with Michael, he was a guy that was projected as a number one overall pick in the NBA draft out of high school. When he was 17, 18 years old, he was given these expectations that you were going to be this amazing, incredible shooting all-around basketball player. Obviously, that changed for him, and that put him on a different, life trajectory. And I think he is now at the point where he's matured enough to look in the mirror and say, I'm not going to be the guy that 16-year-old me thought I was going to be. And how do you approach that, and how do you accept that while also trying to play at a very, very high level in high stakes games every other night?
Well, we also, for this whole argument, you got to remember this is his fourth year, because his third year, he played 9 games. That's when he got hurt. And so this was his third full year of playing. So I should say that actually, because he played 2019 and 20. That season was his second season, but that's when he played because he was still hurt his rookie year.
Right.
So he played his rookie season, air quotes there, was really 2019-2020. And then 2020-21,
hit, and that was strange.
That was like 11 games or something.
That was the one where he played a lot of games, but the next year was like he played 9 games.
Is that when he started the season good, yep, and then his back flared up again?
Yep. Yep. And then it just never really, we kept thinking he was going to come back, and then he didn't, and obviously this season. So it hasn't been that long for him, and this is his third postseason.
So is it fair to, say, because this is what, 4, 5, 6 years in the league now, you should be here, but because of the injuries, because of the setbacks, you haven't been able to get to that point develop-wise.
Yeah, maybe, and I hope so. Because look what's happened with Nikola Jokic the last what has he been? This is his seventh or eighth year. Look what his transition has been over these years. He went from, oh, that's a project player, to, whoa, Jameer Nelson says the foreign kid's pretty good, to, oh, we got an all-star. Oh, my gosh, we have the best player in basketball. Greatest nugget of all time. Maybe one of the greatest of all time. I mean, that was a crazy step up the ladder there.
Well, we had these expectations for Michael when he got drafted, and you saw the vision and the potential of what he could be. And I think that's important. You want him to be the player he is, but the most important thing for him is his health. Can he stay healthy for a full year? Can you give me 50 plus games in a regular season?
Yeah.
He did that this year. That was the biggest thing for him.
That was a big hurdle for him.
So, is it entirely fair to say, okay, now you're healthy, now I need you to immediately jump to superstar because you've checked that box?
Well, let's talk about it more on the other side in the 1 o'clock hour, too, 12:54 the time. Zach Stevens is going to join us from DNVR Broncos, talk a little Broncos football coming up as well. It's the whole show, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The Greeley Stampede is almost here. Join Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint for Rodeo Radio this June on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
All right, I want to get to this conversation because I think it's a good one. Angel's bringing up the injury concern, how he plays the game. And I just, we're getting texts coming in about, hey, Porter's really more of a jump shooter. He's just more of a three-point threat. I feel like watching him, he could be more than that. Is that Malone not getting it out of him? Or is it the injury thing? Is that what this is all about with him, PJ? Physically and mentally. Third and final hour coming up next. Don't go anywhere.